Okay, welcome, welcome, welcome everyone to session number, I'm not sure, 8 I think it is. So welcome. Tonight's topic's international conflict, the second sign of the second coming from Jesus' Olivet Discourse. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, personally for this expectation that you put in me, you put in the bride, that no man knows the day or the hour, but we will know the season. There will be an expectancy. We won't be like a thief in the night to the real church. So, Father, tonight I pray that we're the real church, that we're seeking you, we're knocking, we're believing, we're holding on to the hope that your return is near. The signs around us are everywhere. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart that will believe you. Make this real to us. So, Father, tonight I ask you to open our minds to understand the Scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen. Last session, I told you that more than 1/4 of the Bible is predictive prophecy. From Robert Jeffries' book, Countdown to the Apocalypse, it says, in the Old Testament, there are over 1,800 references, Old Testament, to the return of Christ. Not the first coming, the second coming. In the Old Testament, of the 260 chapters in the New Testament, there are more than 300 references to the return of Christ. One out of every 30 verses talks about, in some way, the return of Jesus. 23 of the 27 New Testament books give prominence to this subject of Jesus' return. For every prophecy in Scripture concerning the first coming of Christ, there are 8 on Jesus' second coming. So I was watching a sermon by Jack Hibbs this past week, and he said something, and I'll share it. What would you think about me as a pastor of the church if I only preached 75% of the Bible? You would think that something's wrong with me. So what's the problem? Why do so many churches not talk about prophecy? It's a question. Because you would think it's crazy if I told you, listen, I believe this is the only physical source of absolute truth on the earth, but I'm only going to preach 75% of it. You'd find a conflict with that, wouldn't you? With that much spiritual emphasis on prophecy, do you think God's trying to keep us focused on something? If a quarter of it, at least a fourth of it, is predictive prophecy. I don't know about you, but here's what it does to me. I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward. Literally, I'm looking forward, not just backwards. Does the Bible reveal the history of creation? I believe God created the heavens and the earth. In 6 days, he made everything that is. Does the Bible reveal history of creation? Does it reveal the origin of man? Does it reveal God's work in the past? Yes, 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 it does. Yes, and I'm grateful for that I can know where we came from and how the earth began. But I'm not living my life in history. I'm not living my life in history. I'm living my life looking forward. I'm looking into the future. Prophetically speaking, he put that in there so that we would have an expectancy, so that we'd be leaning in to that which he has announced is coming. Some preachers are reluctant to talk about Bible prophecy because they feel like it adds a little or no value to the practical reality of everyday church life. I had a situation that just came up recently. I was with a preacher at a funeral, and I mentioned something, and he looked at me and he said, yeah, I know, you're one of those. He's a friend of mine, so he didn't really mean it bad, but he thinks I'm over the edge with Bible prophecy. He does, I know he does. And I just laughed and said, okay, when you're left behind and I go on up, I'll pray for you when I'm up there. It is the hope of Jesus' return that makes everyday church life come alive. Let me just say that. When you live with expectancy, there's a power. There's a power. because I've said this 1,000 times. When you live like you expect the return of Christ at any time, two things are going to naturally happen. You can't stop them. They're going to happen. One, you will purify your life before God. If you're sin, you will confess it, repent it. You will cleanse it. You won't carry it for a day. Number two, you'll go tell somebody. And don't think you wouldn't, because yes, you would. Let me make it an example. If you had somehow knowledge that Jesus was coming tomorrow afternoon at 2:00, any sin in your life, you'd confess it, you'd repent, you'd be on your face, and you'd be calling family members and asking them to cry out to God to be saved. Yeah, you would. Yes, you would. Don't you tell me you wouldn't, because yes, you would. You'd be horrified not to. You see, that's why the Bible tells you what's coming. Jesus specifically is telling his followers to look forward. Don't just live your life in the past. Let's look forward. So let me read it to you. It's in Luke 12. Jesus says, be dressed for service and keep your lamps burning, as though you were waiting for your master to return. What do you think that's doing? That's like me standing here. I'm expecting you. I'm dressed. My lamps are burning. I'm ready for service, because I'm looking for you to come, like you're waiting for your master to return from the wedding feast. Then you will be ready to open the door and let him in the moment he arrives and he knocks. The servants who are ready, this is supposed to be the church, the servants who are ready and waiting for his return will be rewarded. I tell you the truth, he himself will seat them, put on an apron, serve them as they sit and eat. He may come in the middle of the night or just before dawn. No one knows the hour or the day. But whenever he comes, he will reward the servants who are ready. Now let me ask you, in this context, who is the servant that's ready? He's watching. His lamps are trimmed. He's got oil in his lamps, and he's looking. He's looking. He's looking forward. He's expecting. And what did he say? He will reward the servants who are ready. Now, I said a couple weeks ago, and I'm going to say it again, I believe the rapture of the church will be specifically for the Christians who have been expecting him. Some of y'all give me a scowl when I say that. You give me that look. I'm just telling you my opinion. I believe the rapture of the church will be specifically for people who have been looking for him, expecting him, waiting for him. Those who wait upon the Lord, they will rise on wings of eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not to be faint. Those who wait upon the Lord. There's another word you can translate that word wait to hope. Hope is this expectancy. Last session, we began covering, by the way, that sentence is all messed up. I don't know why. Last session, we began covering the first of the 5 signs that Jesus gave his disciples during the Sermon on the Mount of Olives. It's Wednesday on Passion Week. It's a small group of people he's got gathered. The disciples had asked Jesus 3 questions, and Jesus gives them 5 signs as an answer to 3 questions. They ask 3 questions. He answers it in a summary that I've summarized in the 5 categories, the 5 signs. What are the 3 questions? When will these things happen? What will be the sign of your coming, your return? And what is the sign of the end of the age? And why would you put those 2 separate? What if your coming and the end of the age aren't the same time? So he's got 2 questions. But there's 3 questions. Jesus' first sign of his second coming was spiritual deception. We covered that in detail last session. Tonight will be the second sign of the second coming. International conflict. And I was telling Perry backstage, sometimes I laugh when I wrote this series out, I don't know, a couple of months ago. I've been working on it for a long time. And it's like the Lord says, okay, hold on, I'll give you a bunch of new material. Are we having any international conflict right now? Are y'all with me? Am I the only one here tonight? Anybody seeing any international conflict? wars, rumors of wars. So this is Jesus' answer to their question. Number two. Verse 3. Later, Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives. His disciples came to him privately and said, "Tell us when all this will happen. What sign will signal your return? And what's the end of the world?" Jesus told them, "Don't let anyone mislead you." This would be what we covered last week. "Don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name claiming I'm the Messiah. They will deceive many." That's the spiritual deception. That's why I listed that. That's number one. First thing he says out of his mouth, watch out for spiritual deception. That he's answering their questions. Do you see it? He's answering those three questions. Watch out for spiritual deception. Well, what's number two? "And you will hear of wars and threats of wars." Some translations say rumors of wars. But don't panic. Don't panic, church. Yes, these things must take place. But the end won't follow immediately. He's answering the questions. Nation will go to war against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world. Wars and threats of wars. These things will and must happen before Jesus comes again. Don't lose the context and don't panic. Jesus is specifically answering those three questions. There has always been war. So how do we apply this second sign of the second coming? Because if you read history, world history, when has there not been wars and rumors of wars? So you read this and you think, well, what does that mean? Yes, there has always been war. But the war preceding the second coming of Jesus will center around the nation of Israel. Now we're getting real. So that would only apply after 1948. So there's always been wars and rumors of wars, but any war that happens after 1948, now we're in a whole new ballgame. Because the war that he's referring to will center not only around Israel. Listen, it will center specifically upon Jerusalem. The rebirth of Israel on May 14th, 1948, some 2,500 years of absence. For 2,500 years, there is no Israel. They're gone. It's perhaps God's greatest prophetic time clock. It has now been, for us today, it's been 76 years since God fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah that was given 700 years before the first coming of Jesus. Isaiah 66, verse 8 says, "Who has ever seen anything as strange as this? Who has ever heard of such a thing? Has a nation ever been born in a single day? Has a country ever come forth in a mere moment? But by the time Jerusalem's birth pains begin, her children will be born." It'll be suddenly they're a new nation. Suddenly it just happens. May 14, 1948. Now what's interesting is when they announced their nationhood, David Ben-Gurion, May 14th, 1948, he stands in Tel Aviv, not Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, and he announces Israel is statehood. Within just a matter of minutes, and 14 minutes comes to my mind, I may be wrong, a matter of minutes, our president, Harry Truman, confirms the existence of Israel. And when the United States said, "Yes, you are a nation," no other nation dared deny it. It was the like stamp of approval when Harry Truman, by the way, the State Department told Harry Truman, "Don't do it. You'll make the Arabs mad. We need their oil." Harry Truman said, "You're a nation." He proved it. So that day, the world changed. Any war that happens after that, start looking forward. Why? I'm going to show you why. I told you last week that the root of the first sign of the second coming was spiritual deception. Deception of Satan and deceiving spirits and demons, demonic spirits. And those demonic spirits have the ability to sear or kill the human conscience. Do you know what that means? You can't think straight. When this demonic spirit comes upon or inside a person, you can't think straight. You can't think straight. So let me give you an example. When Judas betrays Jesus, he's been with him, he's seen the miracles, and then what does it say? And Satan entered into Judas. Do you think he can think straight in that moment? When a spirit power of Satan enters in that man's life, do you think he can rationally think, oh, this is a bad idea to betray the Son of God? He can't think. He's done. And by the way, the Antichrist that's coming, he will be inhabited by the same spirit that inhabited Judas. Satan will enter a man. Will he be able to think straight? No. Deceptive spirits. Now listen carefully. This is from last week. But it's still the same root. What? Demonic spirits. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last time, some will turn away from the true faith. So if you're in the room and you think that people can't actually turn away, well, you may have a problem with this verse. Because the Holy Spirit tells us that in the last time, some people will turn away from the true faith and they will follow. What's making them turn away from the true faith? They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. These people are hypocrites. It's like they wear a mask. The word hypocrite's kind of like a false face. You wear a mask, but it's not really you. On the outside, you look like somebody, but on the inside, there's a deceptive demonic spirit that's actually working through you. They are hypocrites and liars, and here's the worst part of all. The conscience is dead. You could preach to them all day long, all night long. It's not going to do any good. They have no conscience. They can't think. They can't reason. So here's my point. If the root of spiritual deception, last week's first sign of the second coming, if the root of spiritual deception is Satan, a deceptive spirit, demonic power, then you should also know that our wars, our battles, are not against flesh and blood, but they also have a heavenly spirit realm origin, demonic spirits. If humans knew how much demonic spirits play in our life, we'd be terrified. Ephesians 6:10, I talk about this a lot. A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor. Why? Because there's demonic powers all around you. They're all over. Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against a flesh and blood enemy, but against evil rulers. Just let this sink in. Evil rulers, authorities in the unseen world. So if you try to, how are you going to fight an unseen world, an unseen spirit? Against mighty powers in the dark world, against evil spirits in heavenly places. That's who we're fighting against. And you saw what happened when that spirit entered into Judas. You know, He's the son of perdition. He walks into the darkness under the power and influence of an evil spirit, evil power. Does it only happen to Judas? Does it only happen to the Antichrist? No. What did Jesus do when he came? He cast out evil spirits. What did the apostles do when he sent out the 72? They cast out evil spirits. What today has the power to cast out evil spirits? The Word of God. The Word of God. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God. The Gospel. I'm going to make it more simple. The Gospel. One of my favorite things about Jonathan Cahn's book, The Return of the Gods, is he revealed something to me. I just never thought of it in this way. When the Gospel was preached in the Western world, demonic spirits disappeared. They couldn't stand. They had to leave. when this comes, the demonic spirit has to leave. You ever notice when Jesus would walk into a scene, oh, they would like shriek back, oh, don't throw us into the abyss. We know who you are, oh Son of God. He is the Word. He is the Word. You want to defend yourself? Put on the Word. Put on the Spirit. Do you believe we're fighting Satan tonight? Do you believe that? Do you believe we're fighting deceptive spirits, demons, authorities in the unseen world, mighty powers in this dark world, evil spirits in heavenly places? These final wars that will lead up to the battle of Armageddon are the battle, here's the point, here's the second sign. They are, no matter what you think they look like on the outside, Russia, Ukraine, North Korea, South Korea, China wants Taiwan. No matter what you think they look like on the outside, everything is going one place. It's a battle for Jerusalem. Don't be deceived. The spiritual battle doesn't want China, Hong Kong. It wants Jerusalem. I'm going to show it to you. It's a battle for the throne of God. And that throne, Satan, if he wanted Washington, D.C., he would only want it as a means to get Jerusalem. That's why Israel becoming a nation was and is so crucial to the return of Jesus. The battle is for Jerusalem. The battle is for the throne of God. Do you think that Hamas' attack on Israel on October 7th, 2023, was connected to this second sign? If you say no, you haven't been coming here long, have you? So, verse 6, I'm going to read it again. And you will hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, and the end won't follow immediately. And by the way, you can apply that right now to 76 years. Because we're 76 years on the other side of Israel becoming a nation. Don't panic. The end won't come immediately. Well, we're 76 years in, right? Nation will go to war against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines, earthquakes in many other parts of the world, and that's kind of another topic, the famines and earthquakes. We'll get to that. Daniel writes it down. I didn't include it, I just put the scripture in Daniel 9:27. And Jesus quotes it 500 years later. By the way, when Jesus quotes Daniel, what do you think that means about Daniel? You better read Daniel, right? That's what it means, read Daniel. So Jesus, Daniel quotes it, he writes it. It's recorded 500 years later. Here comes Jesus, and Jesus quotes it. What? What's he quoting? The abomination that causes desolation. Do you understand what desolation is? It's the result of a war. It's the desolate is a war. What is the abomination that causes the war, the desolation or the desecration? What is it? Daniel writes it down. Jesus says, pay attention. What is it and where? Is something that will happen in the Jerusalem temple. And that's the throne of God. It's the throne. Matthew 24. This is the same, by the way, this is the same sermon of Jesus that I'm, the Olivet Discourse. Jesus says, the day is coming when you will see what Daniel the prophet spoke about. Daniel's 500 years before. What are you talking about? The sacrilegious object that causes desecration or desolation. Standing in the holy place. And first thing, there had to be a temple for that to happen. Reader, pay attention. That's in the text of Matthew. Reader, pay attention. So, in what he's announcing, Daniel announced and Jesus confirmed that in the future, there's going to be a sacrilegious object in Jerusalem's rebuilt temple. Pay attention. And by the way, that's in the Olivet Discourse, the same thing I'm studying from. The Apostle Paul gives even more detail about the abomination at the throne of God. By the way, when I say Jerusalem temple, I want you to change your thinking. I want you to think of the throne of God, which happens to be at the Jerusalem temple. He is prophet, priest, and king. Everybody listening? Jesus is prophet, priest, and king. They might have been different people in the Old Testament, man's version of prophets, priests, and kings. Jesus is all the above. He is the prophet, he is the priest, he is the king. He is the high priest, and he will be the king. So you think, why the temple for the king? Because he's not just the priest, he's the king. He's both, and he's the prophet. So here's what Paul says. Now, dear brothers, he writes this to a Gentile church. Somebody say hallelujah. You didn't do good with that because you didn't understand it. Do you understand? He wrote this to us, a Gentile church. Dear brothers and sisters, let us clarify some things about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what are we talking about? Jesus coming and how we're going to be gathered to him. So do you see the two things? I want to clarify these two things. What? Jesus coming and how we're going to get from where we are now to Jesus. And how we're going to be gathered to him. Do you understand that's what he's talking about? Well, that's got my attention. So don't be so easily shaken or alarmed by those who say that the day of the Lord's already begun. Well, what if I missed it? He said, don't be shaken that the day of the Lord's already begun and you missed it. Don't believe them, even if they claim to have had a spiritual vision, a revelation, or a letter supposedly from us. Don't be fooled by what they say. For that day, what's the day? Jesus coming and we're gathered to him, right? Jesus coming and we're gathered to him. That day will not come until there's a great rebellion against God. That's the apostasy. If you read the New American Standard Bible, it says until the apostasy occurs. My mic is really breaking up tonight. Apostasy, which is the falling away from that which you once stood upon. It is to remove yourself from that which you once stood. Is the church doing it today? Yes. By the way, it is the fifth sign of the second coming. I'll get into that in a few weeks. So it will not happen until the great falling away occurs, and there's more. The man of lawlessness, he's the Antichrist, is revealed. So what did that just tell you? Jesus and the gathering to Jesus will not occur until there's an apostasy and the Antichrist is revealed. Okay, that's interesting. He's the one that brings destruction. Now I want you to notice, the Antichrist, when he comes, destruction comes with him. The tribulation on the earth, the 7 years of tribulation, hell on the earth, occurs at his arrival. It begins. He brings destruction. So what did we learn? Three things so far. Well, here we go. What does he do on the earth? He will exalt himself, the Antichrist, and defy everything that people call God and every object of worship. And he will even sit in the temple of God, claiming that he himself is God. So what does that tell you? Well, there'll have to be a temple. There is no temple there right now. They're working on it, but there's none there. And he will go to the Jerusalem temple and what? Now he's the Antichrist. What did I tell you a moment ago? He's a man that Satan entered into like he entered into Judas. He's entering into this man. And this man, he's a man. He goes to Jerusalem and he goes to the temple and he stands on the porch to worldwide TV, I suppose, and says, I am God. It's me. Where's the wars and rumors of wars? This is the ultimate. The battle for the throne, the world war, will ultimately be for the throne. who will rule the kingdoms of men. By the way, this he's not just saying he's God so everybody takes pictures. He's saying he's God because he's saying, you all work for me. And if you don't bow down to me, I'm going to cut your head off. If you don't get my mark, you're going to starve to death. I am God. Well, he's going to rule the world, right? He's false Christ, Antichrist. David was the king. Let me back up so that you'll get a better view. David was the king that brought the Ark of God, the throne of God, and you got to put those two together. Do you know that the Ark of God, it's the golden chest, the Ark of the Covenant. On top of it is the mercy seats made of pure gold. They carried it in a very special way. You had to be a certain person to carry it, and you had to carry it in a certain way, or you'd certainly die. But do you know what the top of that Ark is, the mercy seat? You know what it is? It's the throne of God. So you got. If you don't get this, you're going to miss the rest of it. It's God's throne on the earth. So wherever that ark would be, God would come and sit on his throne. His presence would come and dwell above the mercy seat, behind the curtain on the Ark of the Covenant. It's the throne of God. He is enthroned on the mercy seat, on the ark. So when I say ark, when David brings the ark, he's bringing the throne to Jerusalem. He's bringing the throne to Jerusalem so God's presence will go to Jerusalem. You with me? Okay. David was the king, and he brought the ark, the throne, to Jerusalem with dancing. Jerusalem is Mount Moriah. Jerusalem is the Temple Mount. Jerusalem is Abraham and Isaac and David's sacrifice. And it's the Jews believe it's the foundation stone where God breathed life into Adam. Jerusalem's everything. It's the center of the universe. It's it. It's the very point that God says, I will put my name there. No one on the earth, nowhere on the earth will I place my name except there. My throne will be there. Why do you think the Antichrist wants Jerusalem? He wants God's throne. Where do you think all the wars and rumors of wars will be going? Jerusalem. 2 Samuel 6. Then David again gathered all the elite troops in Israel, 30,000 in all. He led them to Baala of Judah to bring back the Ark of God, which bears the name of the Lord of Heaven's armies, who is enthroned between the cherubim. You know what the cherubim are? They were gold on each end of the mercy seat, and they're looking at the glory of God. Glory of God. The angels are looking at the glory of God when he comes down. Enthroned in Jerusalem. David's son Solomon was called by God to build a temple for the throne of God, for the same name of God. For the name of God. So what was it in David's time? It was a tent. The tent of meetings. The tabernacle. What was it in Solomon's time? It becomes this magnificent building. What's the point of both of them? It's the throne of God. 2 Samuel 7:13. This is God's announcement to King David through the prophet Nathan. He, your son, Solomon, is the one who will build a house, a temple, for my name. Who's talking in this text? God's talking. I will secure his royal throne forever. I have no idea what to do different. Forever. Did you notice the word forever? I will secure my throne forever. He just made an eternal announcement. Where will that eternal throne be? It'll be in Jerusalem. 1,000 years after the time of King David, the angel Gabriel came to the Virgin Mary and announced this prophetic and unstoppable plan of God that will lead to wars and rumors of wars. But it will lead to the final war for the throne in Jerusalem. I bet you never heard the Christmas story and thought of it as an announcement of the final war. Here it is. This is Gabriel talking to Mary. you will conceive and you will give birth to a son and you will name him Jesus. And he will be very great and he'll be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him, the throne of his ancestor David, the final war. And he will reign over Israel forever, his kingdom, and I'll insert something, when it begins on the earth, will never end. On October 7th, Hamas attacked Israel, and now many nations have become involved. Now let me say something. If the second sign of the second coming is international conflict, we're in it. International conflict. Let me give you an example. In fact, this is the new news that just happened, about a week ago? Maybe a little bit more than a week ago. A senator named Chuck Schumer stood up and said to the world, he's one of the leading people in the U.S. Senate, he stood up and said to the world that Israel needs to get rid of their prime minister and get a new one, because Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, is no longer cooperating with Chuck Schumer or the administration. And he has become, in Chuck Schumer's words, a pariah. So we have the United States trying to unseat an elected prime minister of the only democracy in the Middle East. International conflict at its greatest. Do you know that your country's leadership, and by the way, did you think Chuck Schumer did that without talking to Joe Biden? Later, Joe Biden said, I agree with him. Netanyahu's got to go. And by the way, the craziest thing of all, go look it up if you don't believe me, when Joe Biden did his State of the Union address, he's walking off stage, he's having a private conversation, but he doesn't know he's on a hot mic, and he says on a hot mic, me and Netanyahu needs to have a come to Jesus meeting with me. And yeah, they both need to come to Jesus. International conflict is the second sign of the second coming. We're in it. You want more? About 10 days ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, the United States gave $10 billion to Iran. What's happening here? Where's the media? Where's the outcry? $10 billion? That's on top of the, I don't know how many billion they gave them before October 7th. What's happening? You want more? You see, whether we want to acknowledge it or not, the United States is central to the international picture. And what happens here affects everybody. So here's the United States trying to unseat the elected prime minister of Israel, sending $10 billion to Iran, and it gets worse. Our president is talking with Blinken, the Secretary of State, that he unilaterally, you know what that means? That means without negotiations, declaring a Palestinian state inside the current state of Israel. In other words, declaring that a portion of East Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, the West Bank they call it, that the U.S. and the United Nations would declare that that land is now a Palestinian state and no longer part of the sovereign nation of Israel. And Israel, we don't care if you agree with us or not, we just declare it. Do you know what the Bible says about dividing the land? Read Joel chapter 3, first three verses, I believe. He says, and I'll just tell you what it says. He says, I will gather all the nations of the earth to Israel, and there I, God, will make war against them for scattering my people and dividing my land. International conflict, the second sign of the second coming. You want more? I'm just getting started. On top of, I expect this next part, okay? I'm about to go to Russia, okay? I expect Russia, Syria, Iran. I expect this. I don't expect us to be doing it. I don't expect it to be coming from our nation. Demonic spirits. Yes, I said that. Demonic spirits. Is the axis of evil Russia, Syria, Iran, Turkey? I could give you more. Is it a prelude? We're talking about wars and rumors of war. International conflict, the second sign of the second coming. Jesus answering three questions. Is what's happening now a prelude to the Ezekiel 38 war of Gog and Magog? No one knows for sure. So listen, I don't know. I don't know for sure. But you have to wonder, in light of all the other world events, including sign number one of spiritual deception, demonic deception, okay, that the U.S. government acts like it has lost its mind. Is this demonic possession? Where is this coming from? That on October 7th, this thousands of people cross from Gaza into Israel, rape women, cut the heads off of babies, and suddenly we send $10 billion to the one who funded it, and we declare that the result of that is we'll create an independent Palestinian state. We'll give the terrorists what they want. But listen, they don't want a piece of land in Samaria, and they don't want a piece of the West Bank or East Jerusalem. They want from the river to the sea. And from the river to the seas, all of it. It is the battle for Jerusalem. So I want to read something. It's a long text. I'll take a breath. This is another message that came to me, Ezekiel, from the Lord. Son of man, turn and face Gog. Now Gog is not a place. It's a prince or a ruler. Turn and face this ruler of the land of Magog, that's Russia, the prince who rules over the nations of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy, Ezekiel, against the ruler of Russia. Give him this message from the sovereign Lord, Gog: I am your enemy. I will turn you around and put hooks in your jaws to lead you out with your whole army, your horses and charioteers in full armor and great horde armed with shields and swords. Now, here comes the partners. Persia, Ethiopia, you can put Sudan in there. Libya, Benghazi will join you too with all their weapons. And then Gomer, which is Turkey. And by the way, you know Turkey is a member of NATO? So is the United States. What does that mean? Turkey and all its armies will also join you, along with the armies of Beth Togarma from the distant north and many others. Now listen, what you see in there in these funny italics is my comment. Make sure you know that. These are all Muslim majority countries except Russia, and Russia is now 20% Muslim. What? If you were here last week, you don't understand, because the root is spiritual deception. Okay? Get ready. Be prepared. Keep all the armies around you mobilized and take command of them. A long time from now, Ezekiel, that's 600 years before Christ. A long time from now, you'll be called into action. In the distant future, you will swoop down. He's talking to Russia. Give this message to Gog, the prince of Russia. A long time from now, you, Russia, will, and all your allies will be called into action. In the distant future, you will swoop down on the land of Israel, which will be enjoying peace and recovering from war after its people have returned from many lands to the mountains of Israel. You and all your allies, a vast and awesome army, will roll down on them like a storm and cover the land like a cloud. This is what the sovereign Lord says. At that time, evil thoughts will come to your mind, and you will devise a wicked scheme. How can God know all this in advance? He knows what that Russian leader's going to think. You'll devise a wicked scheme. You will say, Israel is unprotected land filled with unwalled villages. I will march against her and destroy these people who live in such confidence. I will go to those formerly desolate cities that are now filled with people who have returned from exile in many nations. That means this is after 1948. Pay attention, after 1948. Who have returned from exile in many nations. I will capture vast amounts of plunder for the people are rich with livestock and other possessions, and now they found these huge oil deposits of all things. They think the whole world revolves around them. But Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish will ask, do you really think the armies you have gathered can rob them of their silver and gold? See, these two nations, Sheba and Dedan, they're thinking, this might not be a good idea. Do you think you can drive away their livestock and seize their goods and carry off plunder? Therefore, son of man, prophesy against Gog. Give him this message from the sovereign Lord. When my people are living in peace in the land, then you will rouse yourself. You will come from your homeland to the distant, from your homeland to the distant north. What's distant north? Look at a globe from Israel. What is it? Russia. From the distant north with a vast cavalry and your mighty army. And you will attack my people Israel, covering their land like a cloud. At that time, in the distant future. Again, this is prophesied 600 years before Christ. What's that? 2,600 years ago. I will bring you against my land and everyone who watches. As I will bring you into my land as everyone watches, and my holiness, this is one of the end times, big events. My holiness will be displayed by what happens to you, Gog. Then all the nations on the earth, I believe this happens during the tribulation, will know that I am the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord asks. Are you the one I was talking about long ago when I announced through Israel's prophets that in the future I would bring you against my people? But this is what the sovereign Lord says. When Gog invades the land of Israel, my fury will boil over. In my jealousy and blazing anger, I promise a mighty shaking in the land of Israel on that day. How many of y'all get my weekly email word from Terry? By the way, if you want it, all you got to do is send me an email and say you want it, and I'll put you on my list. It's free. What was my email this last Monday? A word from Terry about the shaking. Interesting. A second sign. What we're talking about right now is the second sign of the second coming. It's war and rumors of war. And today the wars and rumors of war are surrounding the nation of Israel and Jerusalem, the very throne of God. Demonic Jew hatred, anti-Semitism is on the rise all over the world. There is absolutely no way to describe or to explain anti-Semitism worldwide except one thing. It's demonic. Something happened on October 7th. Something happened in the heavens that made people unable to think. They cannot think. And what is the scripture that we connect to the fall and the pride of Satan? What is it? It's Isaiah 14. How you are fallen from heaven, O shining star, son of the morning. You have been thrown down to the earth, you who destroyed the nations of the world. For you said to yourself, Satan, you said to yourself, I will ascend to heaven. And do you want to see how this works? And I will set my throne above God's stars. That's the connection. He wants the throne. It's his fall. It'll be his ending. You have set my throne above God's stars. I will preside on the mountain of the gods far away in the north. I will climb to the highest heavens and be like the Most High. No, you won't. No, you won't. You will end up in hell. The battle for the throne. Watch Jerusalem. watch Israel. In Ezekiel 43, this is the battle that will end in Jerusalem. After this, the man brought me back to the east gateway. This is an angel walking Ezekiel around. By the way, Jesus will come from the east. Suddenly, the glory of the God of Israel appeared from the east. The sound of his coming was like the roar of rushing waters, and the whole landscape shone with his glory. This vision was just like the others I had seen, first by the Kibar River, and then when he came to destroy Jerusalem. I fell face down on the ground. When Ezekiel sees this, he's seeing the future, and there's a temple there. And the Lord is coming to take his seat on the throne of the temple. He's coming from the east. Ezekiel is overwhelmed. He falls down like he's a dead man. And the glory of the Lord came into the temple through the east gateway. There's a temple. It's in Jerusalem. And then the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner courtyard. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. There's a throne in that temple. And I heard someone speaking to me from within the temple while the man who had been measuring stood beside me. The Lord said to me, "Son of man, this is the place of my throne." Do you see it? What is Satan? It's a competition for the throne. This is the place of my throne and the place where I will rest my feet. I will live here forever among the people of Israel. They and their kings will not defile my holy name any longer by their adulterous worship of other gods or by honoring the relics of their kings who have died. It's the throne. So when you hear of wars and rumors of war, understand it's all going one place. It's all for one thing. The demonic, are there a lot of demons? Yes, they only work for one. When Jesus told you to pray the Lord's Prayer, what did he say? Protect us from the evil one, singular. When he sent out his disciples, evil one, singular. Are there demonic hordes? Yes, I don't know how many. In fact, that battle in Revelation where Michael is fighting against Satan, Michael has angels and Satan has angels. They're demons. But they're under the power of Satan. Satan wants the throne. This is how God feels about Jerusalem. Zechariah 1:14. Then the angel said to me, "Shout this message for all to hear. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. My love for Jerusalem and Mount Zion is passionate and strong. But I am very angry with the other nations that are now enjoying peace and security. I was only a little angry with my people, the Jews. But the nations inflicted harm on them far beyond my intentions." Think of that when you see anti-Semitism. "Therefore, this is what the Lord says. I have returned to show mercy to Jerusalem. My temple will be rebuilt, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. Measurements will be taken for the reconstruction of Jerusalem. Say this also, this is what the Lord of Heaven's army says, the towns of Israel will again overflow with prosperity, and the Lord will again comfort Zion and choose Jerusalem as his own." Zechariah 2:10. The Lord says, "Shout and rejoice, O beautiful Jerusalem, for I am coming to live among you. Many nations will join themselves to the Lord on that day, and they too will be my people." Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah again. Hallelujah. Many nations are going to come. They're going to be my people too. You know what that means? He's cracking the door for Gentiles to come in. Many nations, and they're going to be my children too, my people too. "And I will live among you, and you will know that the Lord of Heaven's army sent me to you. And the land of Judah will be the Lord's special possession in the Holy Land. And he will once again choose Jerusalem to be his own city. Be silent before the Lord, all humanity, for he is springing into action from his holy dwelling." What if that sentence is right now? Be silent before the Lord, all you nations, for he is springing into action now. So here's the closing, maybe. Did you notice something about the final war of Gog and Magog? It cannot and could not occur until Israel became a nation again 76 years ago. How could they invade a nation that doesn't exist? It's not possible. So when somebody says to you, those preachers, they've been talking about wars and rumors of wars for 2,000 years. Yep, he's right. But in 1948, something changed. I'm going to repeat verse 7 and 8. Get ready. Be prepared. Keep all the armies around you mobilized and take command of them a long time from now, Ezekiel said. You'll be called into action in the distant future. That's 2,600 years ago for us right now. In the distant future, you will swoop down on the land of Israel, which will be enjoying peace and recovering from war. And after its people have returned from many lands to the mountains of Israel. Get ready. Be prepared. Why is Russia joining with Iran today? Russia has never been in alliance with Iran. And by the way, if you've ever studied the book of Daniel, when Daniel does that incredible prayer and God dispatches an angel, Gabriel, to answer Daniel's prayer, that Gabriel had a hard time getting to Daniel. Did you read that? Why did Gabriel has a hard time getting to Daniel. Why? Because the prince of Persia restrained him. It's a demonic power. And what did he say? He said, until your angel, Michael, came and took over the fight so I can come and give you the message from God. Prince of Persia. What's Persia? Iran. There was an evil prince of Persia that restrained Gabriel. Do you think there's a war going on in heaven? It's going to play itself out down here. Get ready. Why is Russia joining with Iran? Ezekiel prophesied that Iran is the prince of Persia. Get ready. Be prepared. Is it a coincidence that Israel has recently found one of the largest oil reserves in the Middle East? In that Ezekiel context was, we're coming to get plunder. We're coming because of the wealth of Israel. Coincidence? Now, here's my biggest concern for tonight. I've already touched on it. My big concern is this. If America abandons Israel, America is finished. And right now, America is abandoning Israel. And you're watching it. And some of you, listen, you are clueless. You are clueless. You have no idea. The original Abrahamic covenant between God and Abraham, the original covenant, said what? I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. This is foundation. America grew to greatness because it was founded on the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the cornerstone of America, of the West. Why did the West become so worldwide powerful? It wasn't because we believed in Islam. It was because it was founded on the bedrock of Christ our Lord. But in 1948, something else happened. When Harry Truman made that announcement to the world that he recognized Israel as the sovereign nation. God blessed this nation from 1948. Think of that date. Think of that date and the prosperity of America. Think of that date. America became the world's superpower. From 1948 on, we became the world's superpower. We entered a war, everything left. And then things started to change. The bedrock of the gospel was now pushed out of school, pushed out of government. And guess what? We went into Vietnam and it was a disaster and it's been downhill ever since. Why? And now the ultimate terror, the foundational covenant of God with Abraham, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. If America ends up siding against Israel in this war, we're done. We brought God's judgment upon us. We brought the curse. I will curse those who curse the people of Abraham. Does that make Israel this pure as driven snow country? I've never said that. There's things Israel does that they shouldn't do. That's not even the point. It's not the point. That's between them and God. The point is this. Israel is crucial to the fulfillment of the gospel. Jerusalem is crucial to the fulfillment of the gospel. Here's the biggest point of all. The true children of God, from God's perspective, are the children of Abraham. On the last day, all creation groans in eager expectation, awaiting the day when all the sons of God will be revealed. That's in Romans. Do you know what who the sons of God are? That creation groans to see the list? They're the children of Abraham. Some are the original seed, the original tree, the original branches, and some are grafted in. We're the grafted in branches. But let there be no mistake. Abraham is the tree. And if you hate the Jewish people or rebel against the Jewish people, you rebel against the tree in which your salvation would come from, because from that tree came the Messiah. There is much discussion by the people much smarter than me about whether or not this war of Gog and Magog will occur before or after the rapture of the church. I have an opinion, but it's just an opinion. I don't know. Sometimes the sequence of events get messed up in my own mind. Doug Cox cornered me last week. We were walking out down the main aisle, and he asked me why. I said it might be 100 years from now when I was talking about the rapture. It might be today, it might be tomorrow, it might be a week, maybe 100 years from now. And he called me out on that scripture in a loving way. He's my brother. That if this generation will not pass away until all these things are completed, and if this generation is the one we're in right now, the 76 years, if this generation began in 1948 when Israel became a nation, if Israel is the fig tree in that scripture, we don't have 100 years. We don't have 50 years. We don't have 20 years. We got now. We got now. So thank you, Doug. He put a check in my harness. I'm going to tell you what I do know. Matthew 24:3. Later, Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives. His disciples came to him privately and said, "Tell us when all this will happen. What sign will signal your return? And what sign will be the end of the world?" Wonderful questions. Jesus told them, "Don't let anyone mislead you. Many will come in my name claiming I'm the Messiah. They will deceive many people. And you will hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. Yes, these things must take place. But the end won't follow immediately." We're 76 years into this Israel's back thing. Nation will go to war against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines, earthquakes in many parts of the world. All of this is only the first of the birth pains with more to come. More to come. That'll be next week. Maybe. Maybe. Maybe we'll be here. Maybe we won't be here. Are you looking forward? I hope you are. Two down, three signs to go. Maybe. Are you looking forward? Spiritual deception, that's demonic powers, international conflict. Will you be a casualty of this war or find victory in it? Natural disasters will be next week. A shaking is coming. I know there's a lot of people with a lot of questions about this April 8th eclipse. I get a lot of people asking me, what do you think about the April 8th eclipse? I don't know. I think it means something. Everything in the heavens means something. God in Genesis says the stars, the sun, the moon, the sun and the moon are signs. They are signs that God uses to reveal himself. They're signs. What does it all mean? I don't know. It's interesting to me that the 2017 and the 2024, they're 7 years apart. They're going to crisscross. One person told me that they crisscross in a place called Little Egypt, and Little Egypt is central to the New Madrid Fault. And if there's a shaking, could the shaking be an earthquake? Could God be announcing? No sign will be given except the sign of Jonah. This will arc across, eight, counting Nova Scotia, eight different Ninevehs. And we're called Nineveh. And what was the sign of Jonah? You have 40 days. You have 40 days. Repent or die. I don't know. I don't know. I believe a shaking is coming. And if you add that to our nation removing itself from Israel, just you put it together. I'm not trying to project something. But the United States government withdraws. I heard that they were going to shut down or limit supplies of weapons to Israel because they won't go along and stop the war in Gaza. So we limit supply of weapons and arms, bullets and stuff. And just a few weeks later, the sun will be darkened across 8 Ninevehs. I don't know. There is a shaking coming. One way or the other. Read the Bible. There's a shaking coming. Next week will be natural disasters. I hope I'm not saying that prophetically. Do you know that 40 days after the eclipse is the day of Pentecost? And the day of Pentecost is the day that the church was born. And the sign of Jonah was 40 days. And 40 days from the solar eclipse will be Pentecost. Do not put that on Facebook. It's Carlola here. Hush up back there. Next week, natural disasters. After that, fierce persecution. And it'll end up with widespread apostasy. And then the end will come. Do you believe there's an end? An end of you? An end of this world? What are you going to do about that? Here's my last question. What if you knew all this in advance? How powerful would it be that you knew in advance everything that's coming? You would know what to do to save you and your family. It's not building a bunker. You come to faith in Jesus Christ, the one who's going to sit on that throne in Jerusalem, and you find shelter under the shadow of his wings, and you cry out to God for mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. I am a sinner. I am a sinner. Have mercy on me. What if you knew all this in advance? That's what you'd do. Maybe somebody needs to do that tonight. I'm going to stay here for a little while if you do. I pray everybody here is saved. But you got some people who aren't in your family. You got some people who are not. Are you asking me something? Okay. So what if these times are urgent? I mean, you'd have to be blind to not see some of this. And I can't predict how everything's going to fall in, but no man knows the day or the hour. But we need, you know, God still hears our prayers. Our prayers are powerful. So why don't we just, everybody just stop for a moment. The request was, when we pray for Israel, pray for America. But more importantly than either one of those, because eventually the end will come. This is going to happen. You're not going to stop it. You might, Josiah's position in the Old Testament was his righteousness delayed it to the next generation, but nobody can stop what's prophesied. I don't know how much time we got. And if it's time, it's time. It'll just happen. You just cry for mercy. But here's what you can do. You got some people you need to talk to. Last week, Will talked about that one. I don't really care what time it is. So we passed out those little one things, and I took that personally, and I called my one this morning and invited him to come with me to church on Sunday. And he said he would. I pray he comes. I've been praying ever since. He'll come with me Sunday. And I said, there's this other person that you're close to. I want you to bring. So I cheated and I got two. Okay, I got two. I'll tell you what you can do. While you're praying for America and while you're praying for Israel, why don't you pray for that one? Why don't you get serious about that one? Remember what I said to you? If you believed in the imminency of the return of Christ and these signs are revealing it to you, you would purify your life and you'd go tell somebody. Yeah, you would. Yeah, you would. Yeah, you would. You would. Let's just take some moment and pray, okay? Father, we humble ourselves before you tonight. We are all unworthy of this great treasure you gave us, the gospel, the message of how to have eternal life through Jesus Christ. Have mercy upon us, Lord. Without your mercy, we have no opportunity, no chance at all. We are all sinners, worthless, dirty sinners. But you know that already, don't you? And you came to redeem us from this darkness and overcome the power of death, grave, and Satan and demonic spirits. You gave us a power greater than any other power, the power of Jesus Christ that could live inside of us. We could be born again. And you gave us the scriptures and you gave us the Holy Spirit so we could read the scriptures and understand the scriptures. And I pray tonight for Israel. I pray for the United States. I am blown away that we are abandoning the nation that you called by name, the apple of your eye. And I know, Lord, it must be demonic powers, but you are greater than those demons. And we pray for our nation. And Lord, if it's too late for the nation, if this is our judgment as a nation, then I pray for the people. Or even if the nation abandons you, I pray, Father, that many people will turn to you in these last days and cry out for mercy, and you will redeem them and you will forgive them. And I pray for that you, all these that are in this church right now who are crying out for loved ones, I pray that you do not turn your face away. That you hear every prayer. And you would open. And whatever amount of time we got left, you give us a revival. You give us an awakening. And hundreds, maybe thousands will come to you. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would quicken our heart. Let us see clearly that which is coming. Prepare us for that which is coming. Make us ready. Make your bride ready for the wedding. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all for being here.